So my colleagues, let's start with what you're seeing there on the screen. Every ethne, I hope you've heard of that. If you haven't, then partly it's my fault. ABWE, International, we just have transitioned into what is now we're calling a family of ministries. The GAP ministry, you perhaps have even supported missionaries that were with GAP, is now called Live Global. And we have IMF, Tim and Nancy are not in here, but International Medical, what does the F stand for? Fellowship? Anyway. But one of the, part of the family of ABWE is Every Ethne, which is ABWE North America. And so you see that logo, and for the years to come, you will see that logo that is there on the screen. Every ethne, taken from the Great Commission of Matthew 28, and the word ethne is the Greek word that we translate to nations or ethnic. Yeah, say that. Can't say it in either language. Ethnic groups, there we go. So our goal is, and you see it there, the byline, crossing cultures without crossing borders, because the world is here now. And so every ethne, 5 years ago, it was a brainstorming time, and it now is a reality. And so that's ABWE North America. And that's part of the team that Barb and I have a privilege to be to work with. And what I was going to say is my teammates would say, don't do what you're going to try to do in between now and 10:40. So don't tell anyone that we're doing this morning. All right, so this is Sunday school. This is not, I'm not preaching, and I invite comments, so answer that question. When you hear the word evangelism, what comes to mind? I said you can respond. Dave. Okay. Okay, good. Great. Anything else? Yes. Witnessing. What else? Preaching. Okay. What else? All right. Well, we're going to expand then. By the end of at 10:40, I hope we have more answers than the first ones that you've given that are all great. Probably some of you would say, oh, I can't do that, right? Or it's scary. I don't feel comfortable. What if, all right, this, what if the Great Commission, and actually a version of it is found in all four of the Gospels, what if it really was targeting every one of us? That when it says, go and make disciples, go and teach all that I have commanded you, what if that really meant all of us? Not just Pastor Shaw, not just the missionary. And I'm please understand, I'm not trying to get in your face. But what if that was in fact the intent of the Gospels, and Jesus, as he was going to leave to go back to his Father, and said that we would all receive power? What if? And then what if all of us took seriously that invitation to, in fact, be a part of evangelizing? Well, I don't think it ought to be just a what if. I think that's exactly what God's intent was and still is. My circle is one of the training tools that every ethne offers to local churches. It was developed by a pastor who was in Syracuse at the time. He's just moved out to Iowa and involved in church planting, but he developed it to encourage the people of his church to be more involved in sharing the gospel. And as you can see there on the screen, loving people on purpose, not just, oh, well, you know, when it feels like it, but no, just actually to make a point of loving the people that God puts in our lives. So here I'm going to ask you three questions, and because the time's going to go really quickly, I'm not going to take time right now for you to respond, but I invite you to think about it. So the first would be, how many relationships have you intentionally and personally built in the last year with unbelieving people you long to see come to know Jesus. Just think over the last year. Now, I understand COVID messed everything up. I get that. But in spite of that, can you think over the last year of some people who come to mind, faces you see that you built relationships with knowing that they don't know Jesus, but that was part of the reason why you built the friendship? Here's the second one. How many times this past year have you had the opportunity to clearly articulate the gospel with someone in a personal conversation? Again, the last year, let's make it, spread it back two, all right? But can you think of some occasions where you had the opportunity to share personally with someone the good news of the gospel? And here's the third question. How many times in the past year have you personally had the chance to lead someone to Jesus through a personal connection with them? Now, because the time goes so quickly and I'm not supposed to be trying to do this in 45 minutes, I could show you some statistics across the United States. So the answer to how many relationships in surveys, less than two in the past year. How many times have you shared the gospel? Less than two. And the average for people who have had the privilege of leading someone to a knowledge of Jesus as personal Savior in the past year was 1.2 or 3. So it's not something that would be the case just in Nuevo or just in Quebec City, just generally across the board. Those are the numbers that really lead us to ask some serious questions and ask them of ourselves. And so I want to ask them together with you this morning. So what does God's word tell us? Where is God in all of this? What is his heart? Here's the first question, the first verse. Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that statement is found in Luke, but it's also found in two of the other gospels as well. So the reason that Jesus came, one of the reasons he came, was so that men and women who are lost can come to a knowledge of salvation. Here's another verse. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5. So part of the plan of God is that he sent Jesus, not to a bunch of people that were ready to hear the gospel and eager to receive, but that while we were still in our sinful state, God acted on our behalf by sending Christ. And then here's the third, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So there's the heart of God. As we talk about the good news of the gospel, God desires to see his creatures turn to salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. All right, so we're going to talk about four circles. So it's called my circle. The first circle is identify. And they're going to be up on the screen several times, so you won't forget these. So who's in your sphere of influence? Who lives in your circles of connection? So here's a question. What would stop you from engaging people who don't know Jesus? Again, now you can talk back. What would it be? What would stop you from talking to people that are around you, maybe family members, maybe colleagues at work, or if you're a student, fellow students? What would stop you from engaging people in conversation who don't know Jesus? Fear. What else? Okay. Sure. What else? Yeah, very intimidating. What else? What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? What else would stop you or keep you from engaging people? Good chance they will. Yeah. Jim? Hostility. Okay. And the list would continue to grow. So we're talking about identifying. I want to move on now. And so can you see that? I can see it on the back wall, so I'm assuming you can. All right, so here's what I want you to think about doing. Maybe if you have a little note or something so you can do this when you get home today or tomorrow or soon. Think about the people in your life, okay, where you live, work, and play. Your neighbors, your colleagues at work, your fellow students if you're going to school. Maybe you go to the grocery store, same person at checkout. You go to the gas station. Well, you probably all have self-pump, right? But if you go someplace where somebody pumps your gas, same, you know, you're seeing people all the time. You need to think about who are those people in your life. Some of them are certainly believers. I'm assuming that people in this room, they're your friends. So you spend time with the folks here, and that's wonderful. That's part of being in the body of Christ. But part of being in the body of Christ is also that we are connecting with people all around us who don't know yet about Jesus. So you need to think about who are the people in my life. So identifying, and that's a good exercise. Just take some time, get out a piece of paper, and just start thinking, who are they? Who are the people that I know that don't know Jesus? And I assume, unless you're living in a bubble somewhere, that list will grow quickly. So identify people where you live, work, and play that need to hear the gospel. Good place to start. And again, because we don't have time to pursue it any further this morning, I want you to think about doing that. I would challenge you to do that. So here we go. The first in the My Circle strategy is, and let's all read that together, the off to the right of the circle. Let's read it together. Identify who is in your circles of influence. All right. You going to do that? I mean, I have no power over you, but I want to ask you to think seriously about doing that. And think about who has God placed in your circles of influence. You may be the only believer those people know. It may be that they have other friends who know Jesus, and we won't gang up on them, but if you're building a relationship and another believer is building a relationship, you never know how God is going to use you in the life of somebody that's in your circles of influence. All right, let's move on. The second circle after identify is pray. Now, here's the question. You can see it there on the screen. What if you committed to pray for one unbeliever a day from that list that you're going to make up? Let's just stay on that question for a minute. What do you think could happen if you made a commitment? This is an interesting thing. Our daughter Mandy, who is also with ABWE, she lives in Montreal. She did this training, and she found an app. She's young. She's comfortable with all that. She found an app, and she just started putting names of her contacts, the people in her circles of influence, so that. Going to pray for this person today. And she gets little reminders, you know, her phone buzzes. And, oh, yeah, I need to. Well, if you can do that, more power to you. But just think about that. If you made a point, you're going to pray for at least one unbeliever every day. Well, I can't do what Mandy, couldn't figure out the app. So I just put it into my calendar. So at 6:30 every morning, this is not Praise Tim. But it's just, it worked for me. At about 6:25 every morning, I get a little, it does buzz. And the name of whoever I put in there, and right now, the names that come back almost every day are, we have six neighbors. We live in a cul-de-sac, seven houses. The names of those families, those couples, come up on almost every day. One of those names comes up of people that I want to pray for. Because Barbara and I, we love our neighbors. And to our knowledge, none of them know Jesus. So I pray for them. The answer, I guess, it's already fairly clear. If we begin to pray for those people that are in our spheres of influence, first of all, we know that we're praying for something that God desires. So we're not praying something that's out of His will. Remember, we saw 2 Peter 3:9. He's patient because He wants to see men come to repentance. But as we pray, then we're sensitized. We're thinking about. So Richard and Nicole, our neighbors right to the left of our house, when we pray for them, we know them. Richard's a dentist. She's a lawyer. They have a beautiful home. They're lovely people. They're very gracious and generous. But their name pops up in my prayer time often. And we pray for that couple. They need to know Jesus. They don't lack for anything as far as what money can buy, but they don't know Jesus. Here's the second question. What would you answer to this? What kind of prayers would you pray for the people that are on your list that you've identified? They're in your circles of influence. What are the things that you might pray for? I guess, you know, it's like, duh, we're going to pray they get saved. Yes. But what other things could you pray for those people? Yes. Okay, certainly, yeah. What else could you pray for? Yes. Yeah, yeah, good. What else? Yes. Great. What else? What could you pray for them? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would be a good one for Richard and Nicole. They have everything that their money could buy. But yeah, that they wouldn't find fulfillment in the things that they have. What else could you pray for those friends of yours that need Jesus? Yes. Sure. Yep, that's great. What else? Yeah, that's, boy, and more, that is an important thing to pray. As you probably know, the fastest growing group, religious group today in North America is the nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, who are the young atheists, those who are agnostic, who don't have any religious belief. That's the fastest growing group here in North America. So to pray that God would open their eyes to understand that there is a God, yeah. What else could you pray for them? Well, we've done pretty well. Yes. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that as we build relationship, there would be some reciprocity. There's a big word. I haven't used that in a long time. But, yeah, so not just me toward them, but that God would start stirring and that there would be an interest. And, you know, so it's a two-way communication. That's great. Well, there's lots of things that we could pray for those people, and we ought to. Of course, I'm not minimizing for a moment that we pray that God will save them. Of course. But there are so many steps that we could take in building relationships so that we will have the opportunities to pray for them. You know, it's when you're praying sincerely for someone in your life, that's going to change how you think about them. You're going to start thinking more about them. All right, so pray. What's something that you could do to remember to pray? I've already given you a couple of secrets, but what other things could you do that would help you to remember to pray for the people in your circles of influence besides fancy apps or your calendar? What else could you do? Yes. Start a prayer journal. Yes. Okay, yeah, don't just start it, but use it. Go back and look at what you wrote. Good, that's good. Yeah, Beth? Well, you could. Yeah, old-fashioned way. Yeah. Just, yes, that's right. What else could you do to remember to pray? We have a calendar on our fridge. That would be a good place. I mean, Barb fills it with other things, but, you know, that would be another place that you could make notes. Just, of course, if your neighbors come to your house, that probably isn't the best place if they see their name. Why is my name on your calendar three times a month? But what else could you do? Just to remember to pray. All right, I guess you got to figure it out. Okay, good. Well, don't forget. And we're doing this fast, and this seminar actually could be an all-day thing. So there's so much more we could talk about. But I just want you, as you identify that first circle, identify the people in your circles, your spheres of influence, write their names down. And then, you may have a list so long that, start somewhere. You know, may at least one name every day. It could be more than one person. But remember who they are and then start praying for them. And use all the ideas that have just been shared, the things you can pray for them. And of course, ultimately, that God will open their eyes to the gospel and they'll get saved. So here we go. The first two circles then. Identify who is in your circles of influence. And then the idea of praying daily for at least one person in your circle. Anybody here in the room say this morning, can't do it? Of course, you're not going to raise your hand if you don't think you can, but we can all do that, right? We can all pray for at least one person every day. Let's move on. I'm going to tell you a story in a little bit. So then the third circle, and we're talking now about meaningful gospel presence, is to engage people. How many of you, this is not an answer out loud one, okay? Just think about your schedules. How many of you would say, man, I leave the house in the morning, I'm running late before I even get to work, I work all day, I come home, the things that I have to get done when I get home, and man, by 8 o'clock in the evening, or maybe sooner than that, I'm done. I don't have any more energy. I don't have time. Would that describe some of you? I suspect it could maybe describe a lot of us. Well, I'm not sure that that's how God wants us to live life. That's another conference, okay? But I think that what we need to think about is how can we be available? What can we do to be more available to people? So Jim Murphy, the guy who wrote My Circle and developed this for his church, he said, I don't want you to add anything to your life because we all are already too busy. So if getting this done, what we're talking about here this morning, involves adding stuff to my life, then you're going to leave here more discouraged than you were when you walked in this morning. No, and in reality, it's, okay, what's in my life? Now, maybe there are a few things I need to, you know, priorities. I need to think about some of the way I'm using my time. But how can I be available? How can I be available to these people for whom I'm praying? And so this idea of, and notice it's in red, how can you be more intentional with the people that are already there in your life? Where you live, work, and play. I want to hear what you think. What could you do? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That might work. That will work for some people. Okay. Yeah. Go out to take them out for lunch or breakfast or go for a cup of coffee or something. Yeah. What else could you do to be more intentional with the people? We've already identified them, we're praying for them, and now we want to be intentional, not just remain in the prayer journal, even though that's a good plan. Yes, Beth? Yeah. Good, good, yeah. Just go talk to them. Are you kidding? There's a great book. Oh, what is it, Barb, with the tic-tac-toe? No. The Art of Neighboring. Great book. So if you're looking for something to read, that'd be a good book to read. But in the book, the guy says, okay, tic-tac-toe, you know. So you're in the middle, and then you have, would that be eight? Yeah, there's eight around you. He said, think about your neighborhood, the eight closest, or if it's in your workplace, the eight desks around you or whatever. Do you know the people? Do you know their names? Do you know what they do for a living? Do you know anything about them? And he said, it's embarrassing if you've lived, like we've lived in our house now for 15 years. It would be awful if I didn't know the names of my neighbors. And that note, that's joking aside, that'd be terrible. So we need to just make a point of being very intentional about getting to know the people that are around us. That's good. Beth, you actually mentioned about four things. We have a friend. He actually was with ABWE, just resigned because he took a pastorate in New York State. And he and his wife, I love this, they just moved into a new neighborhood, Taco Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, and he takes a picture. Every Tuesday, they invite some of their new neighbors. I mean, they're the newbies, but they're the ones that are reaching out to the neighborhood. Every Tuesday night, they have people in their home for Taco Tuesdays. And, I mean, it's a no-brainer because, hey, come over to our house. And so it's not putting anybody, you know, on the spot because they know that that neighbor already was there and that neighbor has already been there. But it was just a great idea. You got to like tacos. I guess it could be something else. But let's see, what could you do on Wednesday? Well, you get the idea. Okay? All right, what else could you do to be intentional about connecting with people that are already in your life? They're already on that prayer list. You're already praying for them. What could you do? Yes. That's great. Yeah, so it's not just, you know, the bait and switch thing. People see through that. If they think that the only reason you're being nice is because you've got something to sell if they know you're a Christian, but if you've demonstrated genuine interest, you talk with them, you learn something, and then when you see them the next time, hey, when we were talking last, you mentioned this, how's it going? That's so important because we're building relationships. Yes, Beth?
With that, you can ask them if they have a prayer request that you can pray for. Then when you talk to them, you can say what happened.
Yeah, there you go. Now, it's interesting. In Quebec, where we live right now, that would be the conversation maybe, you know, the fifth or sixth conversation. And only because they don't know anybody in their life who talks like that. I mean, less than 1% believers, most of them threw religion out, you know, a generation ago. But that's the goal. And so that maybe you do this when, you ever do this when you go to the restaurant and the waitress or waiter is, you know, and they take your order. And we have friends, does this regularly, and it inspired me. Hey, we're going to pray and thank God for the food you're bringing in just a few minutes. Anything we could pray for you today? And only once the waitress said, nope, and very curtly and walked away. But that's very rare. So just those are, again, some other ideas. What else? What else could you do intentionally in building those relationships? Yes. Yeah, only if you leave a big tip, okay? Because, unfortunately, there's no joke in here, folks. Unfortunately, we're not known for being generous. the family of God. And if you're going to leave a tip, make sure that the tip you leave, a tract, I'm sorry, make sure the tip that you leave inside is generous. They've already received too many tracts and no tip. You know what I mean? So, but it's not a bad idea, but let's just be careful how we use that one. What else? Any other ideas of how to build intentionally into the lives of people that are, yeah, Barb. That's good. The fun part of that story is that I actually became the director of that community choir. And Barb said, you're their pastor. They just don't know it. But if somebody in the choir got sick, I mean, Barb would make some food and we'd go over and visit them or go to the hospital. And those were some of the occasions, hey, can I pray with you? Never refused. All right, there are so many other good ideas. You get the idea, though? It's intentional, and it's not, oh, man, I just don't have time to do this. Yes, you do, because we're talking about stuff you already do. All right, let's move on here. Oh, okay, well, here we go. So how could you? I'll leave that up there for a couple of moments, but some of them you've already mentioned. Now, if you're a coffee snob and you go to, Starbucks example all the time, chances are they're the same barista. You're going to see them at least once a week, maybe twice. I just saw that there, but get to know their name. And that, you know, it's going to be short, but how you doing today? And those things, because, and they get to know, they know what you're going to order. All right, so you need to know something about them. They know your favorite coffee, but start talking. And just looking at that and being involved in your community. Find a way. Barb and I, we were talking about our neighbors. We're just trying to come up with an idea, something at Christmas time, maybe a project we could encourage them, and we'll pool funds to help some kind of a need in the community. You know, it won't be a Christian ministry probably, but hey, they'll probably be interested in doing something like that together. So as you see those things, yes, Darren.
Another one is Halloween, giving tracts out to the kids.
Yeah, yeah. So this is cool. When our kids were young, don't judge us. We left the lights off, or we'd go somewhere else, and we didn't give out candy. We were Scrooges, if you can be Scrooge at Halloween. Until one of our friends, over in Flint, actually, good friends of ours, take the barbecue out to the end of the driveway, hot dogs on the barbecue, feeding people. And lights on, and, you know, the anti-Halloween look, but they were engaging people. I mean, everybody's out. And one of our friends in Quebec, one of our colleagues, done the same kind of thing. So Halloween's a great example, and there are probably so many others too where, yeah, we don't agree with the spirit behind Halloween and all of that, but it's a chance to rub shoulders with people and find ways to build relationship. So you can add to that list. You could probably have a copy of that. I don't think it's, there's no trademark on the side of it there. All right, now here's the question, and I see the time. So as we engage with people, what is our goal? What's our goal? And I like this. I think Jim Murphy, the author of the My Circle Training, he put it this way. Build relationships that can bear the weight of truth. Build relationships that can bear the weight of truth. Because the goal, you can probably guess what the fourth circle is going to be. The goal is to share the gospel. These people that you... that are on your prayer list, you've identified them as in your circles of influence, they don't know Jesus. That's why they're on that list. That's who you're praying for. That's who you're trying to engage with. And the goal is we want to build a relationship that can bear the weight of truth. Because the truth, when you talked about why don't we evangelize, well, there are lots of reasons that come to mind, but we want to share the truth. Oops, what happened? There we go. We want to share the truth, and sometimes if there's no relationship, it may be a connection, but it may be the one and only connection you'll ever have. But now if we're talking about a neighbor, I mean, they're going to still be our neighbor next year too. So as we build relationships, build them that are capable of bearing the weight of truth. All right, now, again, we don't have time to do much with this, but think about some of the obstacles that keep you from spending time with lost people God's placed in your life. Now, I suspect all of us would say time. And time is a very precious commodity. So that could be an obstacle that comes to your mind. We've already mentioned some other ones. I just want you to think about, all right, what do I need to rearrange? I don't need to add more stuff, but what do I need to rearrange or use? I mean, how many meals? If you eat three times a day, times seven, that's 21 meals, okay? And probably most of you snack a little bit. We won't tell. Some of you probably go get a cup of coffee from time to time. So think you might have 25, 26 times during the week when you're sitting down with a cup of coffee or a meal. So would there be one time during the week that you could engage with someone? You're doing something you would do anyway. And it would, rather than adding something more to the schedule, it just means, hey, this lunch, I'm spending it with a good friend. God's allowed me to get to know Frederick. Fred, he uses the English pronunciation with me. Fred's mom and dad are our friends. Met them through the choir that Barb referred to earlier. Fred is probably 45. Went through a very serious depression, maybe four or five years ago. But came through it and actually now gives his testimony, if you would, to groups and shares how he came through all of that. Well, Fred's mom and dad, especially his mom, one of Barb's students, I can't steal her thunder. She'll probably tell you this afternoon about this lady. But Frederick was raised in a home where they went to church. He goes to church, actually goes to the Catholic Church. His two daughters have gone through the whole process. They were baptized and catechized and First Communion, all that. That is so rare where we live today. But I've been able to have coffee with Fred. And now it's sometimes because COVID, we couldn't get together, but Messenger. I do know how to use Messenger. But conversations, and he'd share something, and we've been asking prayer for one of our colleagues' little boys. And I mean, every time I put an update about little Michael, he's one of the first people that says, I'm praying. So to spend time with him, grab a cup of coffee, now we can do it again. That doesn't add anything to my schedule. And it's wonderful time to spend with him. And thinking about this, that second question, who do you feel the biggest burden for right now? Okay, so you haven't done maybe the whole process yet. You haven't identified who are those people in your circles. You haven't made up your prayer list yet. But even we're sitting here in this room this morning, is there a name, someone who's already on your mind? You've thought about them, and maybe not just for the first time. So I would challenge you that if God's already placed somebody in your life, you have a name. I mean, you can see them. You close your eyes, that's the face you see. I would encourage you, start there. And ask God to give you wisdom to know how to begin to engage with that person. All right, so living intentionally, get out your calendar, okay? You're not going to fill it up. We were already taught, we're not asking you to go crazy and fill your schedule. And then, you know, next week you're going to say, Tim Vermilion, you're a jerk. Why in the world did you tell me to do all that? I can't. No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? But think about your time and how can you engage with people. And so here's the third of four circles. Identify who's in your circles of influence. Pray for at least one person a day, and then engage someone in a practical way once a week, okay? Not too bad so far? All right, here's the last one. Share. How do we go from having a presence in someone's life to having a conversation, a gospel conversation? And that's the scary part. It doesn't matter if you've been a believer for 50 years and you have shared the gospel. I suspect that you always get a little bit of a twinge, you know, a little bit of nerves, the butterflies. Well, so here's 10 things. We're going to run through them really quick. First of all, pursue God daily yourself. Make sure that your relationship with God is authentic and real, and you're spending time with Him. You know, it's not just so you can check off the list and, yeah, I'm a good Christian again today. I read my Bible. That's not the point. The point is to be pursuing God. Second, trust the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You know, when you're in the presence of an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit is there. And so trust the Spirit to be at work. You're praying for a friend. You long to see them come to a knowledge of Jesus as Savior. Well, that's what the Spirit wants too. So trust the Holy Spirit at work in your life, but also theirs. Be yourself, okay? Have a friend, good friend, but when he was a pastor for many years, when he would pray in the pulpit, it was like, whoa, what happened to Wayne? I mean, whole different voice, and he got this Holy Ghost. It was like, oh man, just be yourself. And his buddies joked with him about it. But, you know, just be you. Now, not a carnal you, but just be you. The person that God has created with your interests, with your desires, with your desires for your friends and so on. Put Scripture in the driver's seat. Now, in order to do that, you got to read it, okay? You need to know the Word. And there are lots of evangelism programs that would recommend for you verses that you ought to memorize or at least know well, know where to find them in your Bible. So that Scripture, it's not just telling stories. You're going to share, as you have that gospel conversation, you're going to share God's Word. Because that is the power, okay? Number five, ask good questions. Someone said that, and then number six, it goes right along with it. Listen. So you ask a question and they respond. It's sort of like when you meet somebody for the first time. You know what? I always remember my name and I often forget the name of the other person. Isn't that stupid? Yeah, hi, I'm Tim, and I remember I'm Tim, but I don't remember the name of the other person. So when you ask somebody a question, listen actively. Number seven, share your grace story. That's another way of talking about your testimony. Tell how God changed your life. Share a resource. As you build a friendship, maybe, you know, a book, you know they're going through something, might be able to offer them a book that they could read. That would be an encouragement. Start from the inside. Out, not outside in. In other words, it's sort of like, okay, what's going on in my life? I can share what God is doing in my life. So it's not, you know, a project trying to fix them, but just sharing what God has been doing in me. And then finally, overcome fear of rejection. And that's really depending on God. Overcome the fear of rejection. Jesus, he said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They reject me, they're going to reject you. So that, it really shouldn't come as a surprise to us. I like this quote. You've heard probably, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You know who J.D. Greer is? He's a pastor down in Virginia. No, North Carolina. Anyway, he said, preach the gospel and if necessary use words is like saying, give me your cell phone number. If necessary, use digits. Okay? I don't think he agreed with the first quote. So, you're going to share the gospel eventually. I mean, build a relationship able to bear the weight of truth, but eventually you got to use words and use words that communicate the truth of the gospel. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so it is both and, okay? It is sharing the truth, but it's living the truth. And so that what we live backs up, and just like you just said, backs up the truth of the gospel. All right, I have 1 minute. You've already learned some methods, I suspect. You've gone through an evangelism program, probably. Maybe Evangelism Explosion or whatever. There are great, great tools. So use them. But plug them into these four steps. And here's, when somebody asks you a question, we've said we're afraid. Yeah, what? Well, the best answer, if you don't know, is just say, I don't know. Then go do your homework. You know, so the next time around, you can say, you know, you asked me that. That's another good conversation starter. You asked me that question. I really didn't know how to answer you. I went home, and I did some check-in, and here's what I came up with. So here are the four circles. Identify those in your circles of influence. Pray daily for one person in your circle. Engage someone in a practical way once per week, and share the gospel at least once per month. Now, if you start sharing the gospel every week, no one's going to say shame on you. You're not obeying the rules. But a place to start. A place to start. And I'm going to tell my buddies we did it. Now, that, Pastor Tim, there is a great one-day seminar. If that piqued your interest, let's just pray, and we're going to finish up our time together this morning. Dear Father, we know that you love sinners, and you sent Jesus to take care of the problem of sin so that you could welcome us into your family and our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, you've placed us here in our neighborhoods and our workplaces, at our schools, and you've put people around us who need to understand that truth. So I pray that you will help us to be intentional in engaging people with the wonderful truth of the gospel. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.